Amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, next time I would want these projectors to possibly work or get a projector here, because there are things that I would like to project on the screen. And since the screens are not available, we cannot project them right now. This evening, I'm going to be speaking very, very briefly and very, very quickly on the subject I have titled Burden Bearers, Blessing Carriers. Burden Bearers, Blessing Carriers. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 all the way to verse 3. God speaking said, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Acts chapter 20 and in verse 35. The scripture said, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Our objective tonight is to understudy the lives of kingdom burden bearers, and then to understand the benefit of burden bearing. Understudy the lives of kingdom burden bearers, and then also understand the benefit of burden bearing. I want to say by way of introduction that the assignment of the kingdom thrives in the hands of burden bearers. The results of the kingdom happen through the hands of men and women who decide to become co-laborers with God. Paul the Apostle said, "We are co-laborers with God." In Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 17, scripture speaking, the Lord said, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God is raising people who want to stand with the kingdom against the gates of hell. Men and women who want to stand with the kingdom against the gates of hell with the backing of heaven. God is looking for people who have decided to live beyond themselves, to live for a cause that is heavier than them. We live in a world today where the majority of people live for what to drive, what to wear, where to sleep. But God is looking for kingdom people. He is not physically on the earth. He has not assigned angels to do the work. He's looking for human vessels. If you remember when the Lazarus and the rich man story, when the rich man said to Father Abraham that Lazarus should be sent to the earth to preach to his brothers. Abraham said they have Moses and they have Elijah, they have the prophets. If they will not hear them. Even if somebody is sent from heaven there, they won't hear. Now, the meaning of that is, there are people on the earth that heaven wants to rely on. God is looking for a generation of people that can give heaven rest because they are on the earth. God is saying that this gospel does not need to suffer in Nigeria, in Africa. If Paul Enenche is there, if you are there, we shouldn't be cracking our head as to whether Africa will be evangelized, whether it is on the apostolic and evangelistic mantle side or the financial mantle side, because so and so person is there. Meaning is, heaven should rest because you are alive. Heaven should rest because you are there. That is what it means by carrying the burden of the kingdom. One of the tragedies that happened to Isaiah in the year that King Uzziah died was when God said, "Who shall we send and who shall go for us?" In other words, Isaiah was alive, yet God was looking for somebody to send. I don't know about you, but my own passion is, may God not be looking for who to use when I'm around. May God not be looking for who to empower when I am here. May God not be lamenting that vessels are lacking when there is a vessel here. You know what happened to the man of God from Judah, the old prophet in Bethel, was available to be used to prophesy to Jeroboam against his evil, yet he was not usable. Because it's one thing to be available, it's another thing to be usable. God had to bypass him and go to all the way to pick a young man to come and release the ministry that this old prophet should have released. My own passion is, may God not bypass me to look for somebody. May God not bypass me to look for somebody. May God not bypass me to look for somebody. May God not bypass me to look for somebody. And that old prophet became very bitter and jealous until he lied to the young prophet, deceived him, diverted him, until that young prophet was destroyed. Because he felt that, I am here, why should another person come and take my shine? But it was not the young man's fault. I don't know what your passion is, but in my own generation, no stone will take my place. You know, when the children were crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," the Pharisees told Jesus, "Tell these people, tell the children to hold their peace." Jesus said, if they hold their peace, the stones will cry out. Meaning is, if I don't do what I am meant to do in the kingdom, there are thousands of people waiting to take my place. Nobody will take your place. Nobody will take your place. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. One day, Catherine Kuhlman asked God and he said, "Lord, why is it that the work is so much on my head? I'm preaching and ministering 18, 19 hours in a day." And God said to her, "The original mantle you are carrying belonged to a man who was unfaithful, who disappointed. So I carried his grace and his mantle and the assignment he was meant to fulfill, and I added it to your own." He said, that is why the work is so heavy for you. But my grace, as God will always say, is sufficient. There are people who are meant to be heavy kingdom investors, heavy kingdom financial apostles, who messed up, who failed God. And God said, you know what? Let me look for a laborer, somebody, a stone that the builders reject. Let me empower him to show that I can use anybody to achieve anything. There are people, many people like that. The young man testified. He was, when he had 1,000, he thought it was 1,000 naira. That was what he was able to afford. Not 10,000 naira, 1,000. Until he heard it was $1,000. But he felt it was too late to return back. Now he was able to give that $1,000, which is it? 100 times. 100 times, right? It's 100,000, isn't it? 1,000, now it's 1,000,000. Incredible. That's 1,000 times. That's exactly 1,000 times what he thought he could give before. That's the way God functions. I want you to make up your mind that this one life you are living, your determination is to live it beyond yourself. Your determination is to align yourself with a burden of the kingdom. And let God recognize you as one of those he can rely on the earth, and heaven should go to rest. He advertised Job to Satan. Have you seen my servant Job? Satan says, because you are with him and defend him, say, okay, I advertise him to you. Try him any way you can, but don't touch his life. You will be shocked what you will experience from Job. It's not everybody God can advertise to Satan like that. I mean, if he advertised some people to Satan, they are gone. Somebody say amen. And so what I want you to leave here with tonight is, Lord, I want you to plant in my heart a deposit of your burden. A deposit of your burden. A deposit of your burden. Let me give you examples of burden bearers in scripture. Number one, Moses, who bore the burden of the suffering of the Israelites. Moses. In Acts chapter 7, verse 23 to verse 24. Acts chapter 7, verse 23 to verse 24. And when, concerning Moses, said, when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him. And avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. By all means, Moses was comfortable in the palace of Pharaoh. He didn't need to leave that palace to go and look for anything. But in his heart, there was a burden. He had a passion to rescue his people from the sufferings they were in. And he stepped out of his comfort zone to step into a zone where people were suffering. The outcome was that. The outcome of that was that God took that burden bearing and made him a national leader. He gave him the mantle and the anointing to carry out the purpose of that burden, which was to lead the people out. It is very, very important to know that inside your passion, you locate your portion. Your portion in God. If you can find your passion, and if you can be connected to a passion in God, a passion for God, no devil can deprive you from your portion in God. Passionlessness is always the way of portionlessness. In our university days, those who never took anything serious, didn't take fellowship serious, didn't take anything serious, many of them are still living on serious lives on the earth today. Moses, number one. Number two, Nehemiah. Nehemiah was also very comfortable in the palace of King Ahasuerus. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Nehemiah chapter 1 and in verse 1 to 4. The Bible said the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Kislew, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and in reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant. Long story made short. Nehemiah saw that the wall was broken down. Everything was burnt with fire. He was the cupbearer of the governor, ADC, personal assistant, senior special advisor of the most powerful king in the universe then, the king of Persia. But he lost his comfort. He lost his peace. He lost any trace of quality of living. He lost it. He began to cry on the spot. The outcome of that was that the king of Persia said to him, what do you want? He said, please release me. I want to go and rebuild the walls. I want to go and do something about this situation. And the king of Persia released him. Not to release him as a cupbearer anymore. He released him to become the governor of Judah. To become the governor of Judah. Beloved, what moves you determines what God will use you to move. In your generation, what moves you? What moves you? What is it that moves you? What, when you hear a preaching, what moves you? When you come to church, what moves you? It determines what God will use you to move in your generation. There are many that are unmoved by anything. When I rededicated my life to Christ in the high institution in those days, I came to fellowship, I decided to clean out the chairs, arrange the chairs, and stood and usher people. Nobody told me to do that. I was invited to a church in the far north many years ago. This will be like 22 years ago now. When I came to that church, no roof, no window, the walls were not plastered. I was invited as guest minister. And I stood and I looked, what is this? I asked the pastor, is this the church? He said, yes. And I preached, and I told them, I said, you know what? I want to contribute to the roofing of this church. I didn't come here just as a guest minister and see a need and pretend there was no need. I want to contribute to the roofing of this church. You know what I did? I am going to give so and so amount. Anybody who wants to give anything, go ahead and do it. That has been what moves us. I went to preach in a church many years ago, and the pastor of the church came to pick me from the airport with a taxi. And I said to him, where is your car? At least, they don't have protocol kind of in your own car. He said, oh no, that their church is constructing. And he has given his own car as a seed to the church. I said, really? If you are giving your car to church for the building, you come and take my own car. Do you understand what I did? Under 7 days, I put that car in order, the same kind of car he gave. And he sent to Abuja here. They drove it all the way down south to give him. I was in the north central one time, and the pastor who invited me was driving a car that had only one headlight. He was like the big pastor in the town, but that was the car he had. And I was wondering, this doesn't look dignified or befitting for God. Why are you driving this kind of car? I said, that's what he has. All right? I have exactly this kind of car. My own has 5 gears, extra speed. I want you to send somebody to come and pick it within the next 2 weeks. That was what they did. See, you can't pretend when you see a need and pretend it doesn't exist. And don't forget what I just said. Whatever moves you, determine what God will use you to move in your generation. I can't testify about car right now. Or anything right now like that. It's not part of testimony. Take your seat. Nehemiah saw this broken down wall. It moved him. His appetite disappeared. Taste for food disappeared. The outcome of it was that from bearing a burden, he became a leader of a nation. If you look at Nehemiah chapter 5 verse 14, you will see how Nehemiah was talking about when he was appointed the governor of the land of Judah. From a servant in the palace to a governor in the land of Judah at the frequency of burden bearing. Third example is David. I've talked about David many, many times, but if you look at David was always bearing the burden for God. First time when he saw Goliath in the battlefield, in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 26, he carried a burden. And David spoke to the men that stood by him saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" That burden he carried made him to pull down Goliath. Outcome of it was that they began to sing his song. His kingdom, his rulership, his authority became established. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 7, they began to sing the song. And they said, and the women answered one another and they played. And said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now David did not stop there. David decided to bear the burden for the building of the house of the Lord. In Psalm 132 and in verse 1 all the way to verse 5. Psalm 132, "Lord, remember David in all his, and all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes. I will not give slumber to my eyelids. Until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. I won't sleep, I won't rest until I find God a house." In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and in verse 3, we saw how God ended up by massively empowering David. "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold," and so on and so forth. We saw how David ended when he carried the burden of the house of God on his heart, him alone. You move from there and you go to the man called Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and in verse 1, he was talking. And Elijah of the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, but according to my word." According to my word. He was standing to confront Ahab. He was standing to confront Jezebel. He was standing to confront the evil of his day. There were many other prophets in the land, but none prophesied. There were many other spiritual people, but none moved or did anything. David, Elijah stood, and the outcome of it was such a mantle of fire that made him to leave the earth bodily into heaven. Please note the following very quickly. Number one, it is important we understand that making meaning is superior to making money. Making meaning is superior to making money. It is all right to make money and use it to make meaning. But it's a miserable thing to just live to make money. In all your pursuit of money, ensure that meaning is behind the desire to make money. Second, it's like unto the first, that making impact is higher than getting income. It is important to get income in order to make impact. But if all that we are living for is just to get income, it's a miserable way to live. Making impact is superior to gaining income. Let the purpose of income be impact. Thirdly, it's important also to know that making a mark is better than making a name. Let nobody be struggling in this life about trying to make a name. Just struggle to make a mark. Making a name will take care of itself. Making a mark is better than making a name. Fourthly, making a difference is more important than making a living. Just attempting to make a living. Making a difference is far more important than making a living. In the world you are, in the family you are, in the community you are, in the church where you are, because I'm sure that there are people watching it all over the world now. What difference have you made? What difference are you making? It is superior. Let me say this. Finally, living for the future is wiser than living for the moment. Living for the future. He said, lay not up treasure where moth and rust doth corrupt. But lay up for yourself treasures where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be. Matthew chapter 6 verse 20. Don't waste your time trying to make deposits where there is no future. Live for the future instead of just living for the moment. Today somebody sent me a clip and it literally just flowed into what I'm about to preach. It was a house. The clip was a clip of a house. That was why I wanted to show it to you. The clip of a house that was built in Maiduguri in the 80s. That house will be about 40 years now. Built by one Mediribe. Wealthy billionaire of that time. That house had gold in various places. It was a mansion. The house was built over 10 years at the cost of $100 million of that time. Call it $100 billion today, dollars. It was the most important, expensive house in Africa at that time. Prince Charles and Princess Diana visited the place when they came. The man died in 2002. The house had so many rooms for his two wives, his mother, and children. Today, that house is in existence with no human being inside. And nobody knows what to do with it. The gold is still there. Everything is still there. The grandeur is still there. The splendor is still there. Now what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? All that treasure on one ground where it is practically profitless to nobody right now. air condition. And that child got the vision in the 7 to 8 hours in his presence, when everybody was in that intensity and the heat and fanning themselves. He said, "Daddy, I want to give offering to our senior pastor. Let him use the money to buy air condition for the glory dome." At that age, there was a burden. You can only imagine what will become of such a child if Jesus tarries to come. What God will direct in the way of such a child. Please, let us live for what really matters. Let us live for what really matters. Take your seat. I met a Christian billionaire some time ago. And his pastor had brought me the copy of the building they want to build. Big building. Man, with all the details and the finishing. Very, very massive building. The pastor is submissive under the mantle of this commission. And he said I should pray on the building. So I laid hands on the building project and I said, "Lord, thank you for this construction. We ask that you supply all the resources. We ask that you will give all the wisdom and all the things and let it run in Jesus' name." So, I met this young man who is a member of his church. And I said, "Praise the Lord. This is a guy that can easily drop one and put 9 zeros behind it and no challenge." And I said, "So, your pastor brought the building plan for the church. We trust the Lord." He said, "Oh no, for that one, all the money that will build it is already in the account, in the church account. All the money, everything that will build it is already in their church." He said, "All that has been set, it has been wired. That is, the building has already been built, yet it hasn't started." There are realms, so. But listen to this. You know his vision. His vision is to make enough money and leave business. And then go from crusade ground to crusade ground. Whether he will do usher, anything he will do for the rest of his life. I'm not looking for more money. I want to be there in the mass evangelism crusades. Be there, as the miracles are happening, as the things, anything I can do, let me do. If I will usher, let me usher. If I will do counseling, let me do counseling. As for business, I'm true. As for money, I have made enough for the kingdom. And let me. You see the kind of heart people have. I was touched. Anything that will build it is already in the account. Every single thing. You are going to that realm. Now, but you see the passion. The passion is not now for money. The passion is for crusade first. Not as the preacher, not as the evangelist, but just being within the crusade arena and doing anything possible. But before then, let me conquer enough money so that this gospel does not suffer. If it is in your heart, God will put it in your hand. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. If you can make sure that it's in your heart, God will put it in your hand. I was talking to another brother. And he said, "Sir, there is nothing I want money for myself." That was this guy that sent for the Cameroon crusade, clear the bill for missions worship and so on. So he said, "As I am, as you see me now, there is nothing I want to buy for myself." He said, "I'm not even on social media. So I'm not aware of what is. All I want, let God try me. Let God try me. I'm not looking for anything." Burden and heart. But can I tell you something? It is not possible to be a pipe that conducts water and you are dry. I am praying for people to be well. I am not permitted to be weak. That anointing that flows, that is reaching people and jacking them up out of weakness, impart strength to the channel. Where the water flows through, the water must leave its trail. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say the Lord must amen. What is the benefit of bearing the burdens of the kingdom? I am bearing whether it is a burden for souls, of burden, resources burden, to be relevant to the kingdom and push this gospel to the ends of the earth. Number one is the release of the anointing or mantle. Burden provokes mantle. It provokes oil. It provokes anointing. Anointing for anything. Some of those who have burden for souls so much, they have such a dangerous evangelistic anointing. Such a very strong evangelistic anointing. They give an altar call. People are drooping like water. It's coming out of burden for souls. In Psalm 89 verse 19, he said, Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. That was the same David we are talking about. With whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. My faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his son be exalted. That's right. I will set his hand also in the sea. That is talking of resources. That is talking of multitudes. And his right hand in the rivers. I will anoint him and give him influence. Am I communicating? So, burden will cause the release of the anointing or the mantle. And that anointing will do at least two things. Number one, crush the opposition. Number two, deliver territories. It will cause you to cross the opposition. It will cause you to take delivery of territories. Whether it's a financial territory or a spiritual territory, take delivery of territories. I will set his hand upon the waters. I will set his hand upon the rivers. Burden. To crush the opposition and take delivery of territories. That is, the burden will cause the release of the anointing, number one. Number two, it is the release of the blessing. Whenever you are a carrier of blessing, I want to put it this way. Bearers of the burden are carriers of the blessing. You can't escape it. Bearers of the burden are carriers of the blessing. The blessing of the Lord. After David, said he will not sleep until he builds God a house. God says, that right? I will give you a blessing that will shock you. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 3, we saw that already. How he had enough of his own resources. Bearers of the burden are carriers of the blessing. One of us here, seated right here, right now. I told you his story before. How during the course of the Glory Dome construction, and I made a call and I said, me and my wife, we could do it, but God wants me to give people the opportunity to be part of it. 50,000 that he was keeping, 50,000. That is, every time he has a little money, he will put it and save it inside his suit pocket. He will save. All the savings came to 50,000. When he heard that on a Sunday morning in the Riawan church, He decided to his wife to be, go to that pocket, pick that 50,000. Don't take transport money out of it. Go and drop it in the church for this call. 2 weeks later, a job came of 100 million. Out of 50,000 he was saving. He didn't even have money to execute. Did he have a company name? He used his friend's company name. He got 20 million out of it. Story changed. Today, this is 2017, this is 2023. How many years is that? 5 to 6 years. Job is now in 20s, in billions. Bearers of the burden are carriers of the blessing. If it moves you, God will cause you to move things. If the things that pertain to God move you, God will use you to move things. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say louder, amen. It is the release of the blessing. The burden on your heart is directly proportional to the blessing on your life. Billy Graham carried the burden of soul winning. Every time he arrived in England, they received him where they would receive the Queen of England. Royalty reception all over the world. The blessing on your heart is connected. The burden of your heart is connected to the blessing on your head. Number three is the release of favor. God gives favor to people who carry burden so that their burden can be actualized. Lord, if this kingdom must move, I need your help. He gives you the favor to realize the burden. Nehemiah chapter 2. I'd like you to see verse 5 to verse 8. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 5 to verse 8. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou would send me unto Judah, to the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it, if I have found favor. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall your journey be? And when will you return? I don't know the answer he gave him. So it pleased the king to send me. And I set him a time. Now look at this. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let us. Now he wants to build a whole city, the wall of Jerusalem. Let us be given me to the governor beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. Let them give me a passage. Now listen to this. And he later unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. What he asked was less than what they are doing. Let them make me to pass, say whatever, until I reach Judah. But he gave him the letter to the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertained to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. You see, when you carry his burden, you must carry his favor. You cannot carry the burden of God and be lacking in the favor of God. If it is moving you to do things for God, God will be moved to give you what it takes to do it easily. He will be moved to release on you what it will take you to do it easily. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. It is the release of favor. And number four, the release of wisdom and inspiration. The release of wisdom and inspiration. Wisdom. Define wisdom. If you are ready to do it, God will open up how to get it done. Don't forget what I'm just saying now. If you are ready and willing to do it, whatever it is you want to do for God, you are ready and willing to do it, God will open up how to get it done. So be financially responsible for crusades, 100 crusades within the next 10 years. God opens up. I need places of worship built where people can go in and be saved and then be discipled. I need like 100 or 1,000 of them in my lifetime. It opens up. When David made up his mind that Goliath must come down, God opened up how to get Goliath down. For everybody, Goliath was too big to bring down. But for David, Goliath was too big to miss. You see? God showed David that there was an opening on the forehead of Goliath. Others didn't see it. And he saw that that opening was enough to admit a bullet. That opening was enough to admit a sniper's catapult stone. Once you want it done, God will show you what others are not seeing. God will show you. He will give you ideas others don't have. He will open the ways that others don't have. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say the loud most amen. Somebody say amen at the top of your voice. In bearing the burden, I will give you two or three counsels. Number one, be sincere with God. Brutally sincere. Don't play games. Don't play pranks. Because there are people who make a lot of promises. And when God begins to change their story, they begin to change their mind. That is when they realize, oh, I have things I need to attend to. Be brutally sincere with God. And never make a promise to God you are sure you will never keep. It's not necessary. Be brutally sincere with God. For me, my covenant obligations have been handled before I think of anything, including food in the house. Not today, from the beginning. From the beginning. My obligations to God, in my givings, in offerings, in tithes, in everything. Shoe is not an issue. I mean, cloth. I'm talking of, even before talking of food money separation. Brutally sincere with God. Number two, be honest in your dealings. Financial dealings, transactions, business dealings. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Avoid the way of crooked. Don't steal to come and give to church. Don't dupe and defraud to go give to God. It's a curse. Sincere, honest deals and honest living, honest existence. Job followed that path. And Job did not regret it. Completely sincere with God. Honest in your deals. And finally, start from where you are. Show to God that you can do. God told Abraham, from where you are, look. He said, he that is faithful in little is faithful. Is faithful. I know what you will do with 1 billion. If I see what you are doing with 1,000. If I see what you are doing with 100,000, you use 90,000 out of that 100,000 to buy cloth. It is clear what you will do with 10 million, 100 million. It is clear what you will do with 1 billion. He said, he that is faithful in a little, he is faithful. When I saw that at first in, I believe it was Luke chapter 16, verse 24 or something, he didn't say he will be faithful. He is faithful. That doesn't sound like good English. He who is faithful in a little is faithful. He is faithful in much. God is saying, I am using how you handle little to determine what you will do with much. What you are doing with the little now is a prophecy of what you will do with the much. I don't need to wait until much enters your hand to know what you will do. From how you are behaving now, I know what you will do later. In university days, I will invite the guest minister to follow me to the kiosk. And some of them graciously did. Excuse me, sir. I don't have much to give you, but can I buy you Coke? Say, really? All right, let's go. Follow me to the kiosk. Buy Coke. Buy biscuit. I paid for it. He looked at me and said, really? The Lord bless you. Done that once, twice, many times. Those were invited home to come and eat. Little student pocket money. God saw it then. When my wife and I got married, newly, under 1 year of marriage, I was invited to preach in a program in a youth meeting. I finished preaching a very hot message. The kind of message that will make everybody sober and think and pray. As I was sitting down, somebody came up and started raising offering. But yeah, so that contribution that we talked about last time, how many of you have your own now? I ran back to the pulpit. Wait, give me the microphone. I collected it. I said, excuse me, sir. What I just talked about now, I want them to go and think about it. Don't talk about contribution now. In any case, how much are you people contributing? He mentioned the amount. I said, me and my wife will pay all of it, free the rest, which was what we did. God saw it at that time. That same thing that happened there. Doctor's salary was 1,200 naira a month. When it was increased, it became 2,400 a month. The same 2,400, you know. I don't know what you can do with it now. Not dollars. That was what we gathered up. That was what we used to pay for the people to go and listen to the message. And God saw it. God knew then that, look, whatever I give to this man, it is kingdom word. I have given to God monies without talking of tithe. That is, this so and so amount. I'm not talking of tithe, I'm talking of 100%. I don't know the number. Past tithe, longest tithe, all. But it's a new season for you. If there's any prayer you're going to pray tonight, Father, place in my heart your burden. Whatever you want to do with my life, I am ready. Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. What you want to do with my life, I am ready. Where you want to take me, I am ready. How you want to use me, I am ready. Here am I, Lord. Use me. To your glory. To your glory. To your glory. Father, we give you the praise. Can you lift up your hands and lift up your voices and begin to pray right now? Somebody on the keyboard just... Lord, I am all yours.
Own me, Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours. Use me, Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours. Own me, Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours. Use me, Lord, I am. Lift up your hands and sing, Lord, I am all yours. Own me, Lord.
Lord, I am all yours.
Lord, I am all yours. Use me, Lord, I am all yours.
Lift your voice and sing,
Lord, I am all yours.
Lord, I am all yours.
Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours.
Lift your voice and sing.
Lord, I am all yours. Hold me,
hold me, Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours.
Lord, I am all yours. Lord, I am all yours.
Sing, receive as I see us tonight. And there are so many people here tonight that God is interested in using beyond your wildest imagination, committing into your hands resources that will shock you. What you haven't seen anybody in your whole community. Like I said before, that the time will come when if all the people in your community put their resources together, it will be a fraction of what God is yearning to put in your hands. All you are going to tell God, here am I am available. Put your burden in my heart. Help me to be faithful. I am available. Whatever you want me to do, I am ready. However you want me to function, I am ready. Place your burden in my heart. Place your passion, burden for your kingdom, passion for your kingdom in my heart. And I am available as an instrument. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and speak to God. Open your mouth and speak to God. I am available. I am available. I am available. I am available. Open your mouth and speak to God. I am available. I am available. I am available. I am available. Your chest and speak, Lord, here am I. Place in my heart burden for your kingdom, burden for your assignment. What do you want me to do? I am ready. And also help me to be faithful. Help me to be faithful. Open your mouth and speak to God. Say, Lord, I come before you today. Place in my heart burden for the kingdom, for your kingdom, for your assignment. And help me, Lord, to be faithful, to do your work, to do your will. I am available. Open your mouth and speak to God. I am available. I am available. Jesus, so shall it be. Amen. Stretch your two hands in front of you. While I pray this prayer, anyone who is in need of surrender to Jesus, the Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You are in need of forgiveness for your sins, in need of surrender of your life to Jesus. Quickly pick your Bibles and your bags and step to the front here, right here where we are. Or you have failed God before. God tried you once, but you are unfaithful. And you are saying, Lord, give me another chance. I'm sorry for being unfaithful. You can also step forward alongside. The first group are those who are saying, I need to be forgiven of my sins. I want to be genuinely saved. I've been coming to church, but I'm living an ungodly life. I need help from God to live right. Step forward. And then the second category is, yes, quickly come forward. Don't waste time. Second is, Lord, I've been unfaithful. You've tried me before with resources. You've tried me in many ways, but I wasn't faithful to you. I ask for help and mercy. Give me another chance. Quickly come forward if you're in that category. Now, stretch your two hands in front of you, every single one. while those coming forward will come forward. I pray upon your hands right now. I decree today, your harvest shall look for you. As the burden of the Lord is placed in your heart, may the blessing of the Lord be placed in your hand. In the name of Jesus, as the burden of the Lord is placed in your heart, may the blessing of the Lord be placed in your hand. That which you lay your hands to do, may it prosper from today. May God remember you. May God remember you. May He remember to change your story. May He remember to change your situation. May He remember to give you a testimony. In the name of Jesus. Between now and the next time we shall meet, may your story change. 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 Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, El Giver. Thank you, Mekadesh. And for those in the front here, afterwards you let God know how sorry you are and that He will give you the grace to be faithful. I prophesy upon you, I pray help from above to do that which is right be released upon you in Jesus' precious name. By the time we are meeting next month, you will come with multiplied testimonies. Give the Lord a shout of praise.